Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here. It is Thursday, week flying by, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. Always on the 101.3 ESPN app, a free download in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store as well. And now on your Amazon Echo, also all you have to do is enable 101.3 ESPN. And then after you've done that one time, it's just simply open 101.3 ESPN. And we are heading into my favorite weekend of the year, Memorial Day weekend. Is the best weekend of the year to me. It feels like the unofficial start to summer. It's perfect because we're leading up. Number one, we're leading up towards June. Number two, if you've got kids, you're leading up towards them being out of school and home with you for the summer, which for most of you, I hope, is a good thing. You're leading into the continued warm weather. You're out of the, you know, getting close to being out of the May showers range of the calendar. It's a 4-day work week for everybody next week. It's a 3-day work week for me next week because I'm actually off next Friday. Also, going to a bachelor party, so that will be fun. I'm sure we'll have plenty of stories from that when I come back. So, Memorial Day weekend, barbecue, baseball, good weather, and go figure the weather looks kind of crummy around here this weekend. But still, I won't let it dampen my spirit. My favorite weekend of the year. Again, we go up until 6:25, and then we bring you Red Sox baseball. Sox in Tampa. We'll have the lineups for you about 15 minutes from now. I do want to start with this, though. And by the way, we were perfect again in the huddle on the mistake of the day. It was brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. Oh, wait, the interns are yelling at me. No, we weren't perfect. Oh, Brian in Richmond. It's written right in front. Brian in Richmond. He was our qualifier for the mistake of the day. So Brian in Richmond, you qualify. The Celtics, I predicted they were going to win in six to start the series. Or I predicted they were going to win in seven, rather, to start the series. I have said now that they're going to win it in six, and I'm going to stick with that. I think what the Celtics did last night was incredibly impressive. And I have to say this. There is a lot that I think I know about basketball. This series has proven to me there's a lot more that I don't know or a lot more that I had never really thought about. The one thing now that I know about basketball is that the three-point line is now the key. I used to think that it was all about the toughness stats. It was about rebounding. It was about free throws attempted. It was about free throws made. It was about turnovers. All of that is important. But the three-point line is now the biggest key, maybe the biggest key in basketball. And it certainly proved itself to be huge last night. The Cavs hit just 9 threes. I say just 9 threes because I had said the number. If they hit under 10, the Celtics were in a good position. The Cavs hit under 10. The Celtics hit 13. 12 extra points right there given to the Celtics. The Celtics win by 13. I mean, we're looking at a pretty good difference there from just the three-point line. All of that other stuff matters. The Cavs had 18 turnovers. The Celtics didn't even have double figures. The Celtics out-rebounded the Cavs. They shot more free throws and made a higher percentage. All of that helps. But Tom Curl, the Plattsburgh State basketball coach, told me this in March about his basketball team, February about his basketball team. They had a 20-game win streak. He said the three-point line has become, defending the three has become the biggest thing that we can do. It's become the biggest thing that we can work on. And that's what we saw, have tried to see over this series. The Celtics have done their best to limit the Cavaliers from three. Okay? LeBron James didn't shoot it well from three yesterday. Kyle Korver didn't shoot it well from three yesterday. He didn't give it many opportunities. J.R. Smith, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson. Clarkson hit, you know, two in the first quarter, I think, and that was it. Defending the three has become among the biggest focuses in all of basketball. It's nice to shoot it well from three, too, but if you can defend the three, then you are setting yourself up for success in modern-day basketball. And then, you know, we went into yesterday talking about, oh, are they going to leave Terry Rozier on LeBron? And if they do that, then that's how they're going to limit the three-point line. And they ended up not leaving Terry Rozier on LeBron a lot yesterday. They ended up, you know, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, Aaron Baines at times. As I tell you, I am confident in telling you I know that the three-point line matters. What I'm not sure anymore day-to-day is what the Celtics are going to do defensively. I thought I had a read on what Boston was going to do defensively, and I just haven't had it on a game-to-game basis. And now as we hit Game 6, I have no idea what they're going to do tomorrow. And that's what makes Brad Stevens so good. The variance with which Boston has attacked Cleveland on the defensive end, that has been impressive because it's been ever-changing. I justified it, Terry Rozier on LeBron. Yesterday, what do we get? We get Aaron Baines playing a lot more. We get Aaron Baines starting. We get Aaron Baines sagging off LeBron James. Here's how yesterday worked. And here's what I'm convinced about. Brad Stevens is now trying to bait LeBron James into various things. And here's what I mean. In Game 4, when Terry Rozier was on LeBron James, they were trying to bait him into using that advantage that he has on Rozier, and he does, size, strength, power, experience, all of it. Bait him into using that advantage. And when they use that advantage, when LeBron uses that advantage, he hits twos, and he hits two after two after two, and the rest of the defense does what? Defends the three-point line. They were baiting him into taking that advantage because if he scored twos, they weren't scoring threes. Yesterday, Brad Stevens changes it completely up. But if you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. You can get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. So yesterday, here's what happens. The Cavaliers do a lot of pick and roll. Aaron Baines is often the guy who is the pick and roll guy that Cleveland wanted LeBron on Aaron Baines because they think he can take Aaron Baines to the basket. So what did Brad Stevens do? Brad Stevens said, Aaron Baines, you are going to drop. And when you drop, LeBron James is going to be forced to either drive at you a brick wall who's established in the paint rather than get you scrambling on the perimeter. And that's hard, even for LeBron. That's difficult. Or he is going to end up with a jump shot because the guy who was picked is going to recover back and be able to, you know, defend that jump shot. So they baited LeBron James into taking contested jumpers or trying to go one-on-one at Aaron Baines, who's already established and has help in the paint, and they forced a lot of tough shots. I mean, LeBron was 2 of 6 when Aaron Baines was his primary defender yesterday in the paint. When he dropped off on pick and rolls, they were 2 of 6. LeBron was 2 of 6. Brad Stevens continues to throw a different wrinkle at LeBron James, and I'm sure there's not a lot that LeBron James hasn't seen. But just the variance, the unpredictability, it's been very impressive. I have no idea how the Celtics are going to come out in Game 6. None. Zero. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com. Let's see. Let's move over to this. You know, you have to like the Celtics. They have a little bit of everything. You know, teams get an identity, right? Teams get an identity. I look at Golden State and I think, by and large, they're a finesse team. By and large, I think they're a finesse team. Draymond Green muddies the waters a bit, but by and large, I think they're finesse. The Raptors, they've got that reputation as choke artists, as not tough, as soft. You have an identity. Think about it in football. There are certain teams that are predicated on defense, tough, hard-nosed. There are other teams that are predicated on speed and flash. You have an identity as a team. And what the Celtics have is they have the best of everything because they have a little bit of everything, and that's what makes them likable. When Kyrie Irving plays, they have a true artist with the basketball. He paints them a pretty picture. Kyrie Irving is a... Not that he's not tough, but he is a finesse, but he is a flash player. They have some of that. With Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, they have tough guys. They have enforcers. They have guys that are willing to muddy the waters with you. They do what Draymond Green does, although they do it a little bit cleaner and a little less vocal than Draymond Green does. But they have that street game to them where they're just street tough. Aaron Baines is tough. okay? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are like gazelles. They're green. They're exciting. They're athletic. They're picking a little bit of both camps. They have a wizard head coach. They have a top-notch executive. The Celtics have a bit of everything. I look at the Cavaliers and I say that... I look at the Cavaliers and I say, what is their identity? Their identity is LeBron. And other than that, I'm not quite sure. They've got some shooters. They've got a tiny bit of toughness, but I don't really know what they are. The Celtics, I know that they have a little bit of everything. They have kind of the best of everything. Artis point guard when he plays in Kyrie Irving. Underdog mentality, chip on the shoulder. That's where Terry Rozier brings you. Cast-off mentality. Then we throw in the fact that Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart bring you that street toughness. Marcus Smart's willing to dive on the floor. It just doesn't feel like there's an ego with the Celtics right now. It feels like it's an egoless team. And then you throw in the Wunderkind head coach. It just feels like the C's have a bit of everything. How much are you guys enjoying this Celtics team? 802-655-6672. Again, you can get in on the Town Fair in the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. One more note. We'll get to those Red Sox lineups here in about 4 minutes. A note on Jason Tatum. We saw yesterday just the continued development and the continued evolution of a guy who's going to be a really, really good player in this league for a lot of years. Everybody knew that Jason Tatum could score when he came out of Duke. I even advocated that if the Celtics had the number one pick, that they should take Jason Tatum. At the time, remember, they didn't need a point guard. At the time, they had Isaiah Thomas. We didn't know they were going to get Kyrie Irving. But they had a ball-dominant point guard. They did not need Lonzo Ball. They did not need Markelle Fultz. I could have rationalized taking Fultz, and I even made the case why I knew it would make sense, but all along, the Celtics needed a big man and a big man that could score. And even though Tatum's 6'8", he's not a center, but he's not a point guard. The Celtics had one of those. They needed a perimeter player. Remember at the time, too, they didn't have Marcus Morris. They didn't sign Gordon Hayward until, you know, July 4th or so. I mean, so we weren't sure exactly where things lined up for the Celtics. At the time, though, I made the case, maybe Jason Tatum was the best pick for this team. I liked him better than I liked Josh Jackson also. But we knew he could score. We saw the continued development of everything yesterday. Listen, he was 5 of 9 yesterday. Had 12 points on pull-up jumpers. Pull-up jumpers. That tells me creating his own shot. You don't see that from rookies all the time. They can be catch-and-shoot shooters. They can hit a shot when they're open. When the defense double teams Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum ends up being the recipient of a wide open shot, we expect rookies to be able to hit that. If he's 5 of 9 on pull-up jumpers, he's creating his own shot. The Cavaliers can't create their own shot right now. J.R. Smith can't. Kyle Korver can't. Jordan Clarkson can't. Those are spot-up shooters. Jason Tatum is a shot creator. He was a good passer yesterday, and he made the right pass. His teammates were 4-for-4 off his passes. Directly off his passes, 4-for-4 yesterday. Sets up his teammates in a positive situation. Defensively, the Cavaliers were 2-of-9 against him. He had not played that well in the first four games. Okay? He had not played all that well in the first four games defensively, but he held the Cavaliers a 2-for-9 yesterday as a primary defender. Good job all around by Jason Tatum. He is showing you a completeness to his game that now 95-plus games into the season, maybe we're starting to expect, but you never could have foreseen this kind of completeness. I mean, we didn't have that kind of completeness even from Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is probably going to win Rookie of the Year. Maybe Donovan Mitchell, but probably Ben Simmons. He doesn't have a completeness to his game. He didn't even take a shot outside the paint in the entire series against the Celtics. He has that underdeveloped part of his game. And it continued to be underdeveloped into the playoffs. Jason Tatum, if there's part of his game that's lacking and was on defense, and he's showing you the ability to make corrections on the fly and get better. Very, very impressive what he's done from a statistics standpoint, from an increased burden standpoint. He has been really, really good this year, and he is justifying every bit the Celtics' decision to take him at number three in the draft. Again, Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Red Sox baseball coming up in just a couple of minutes. Good news for the Red Sox. They will activate Dustin Pedroia tomorrow from the disabled list. Really interested to see the corresponding roster move. It seems like it's fairly predictable. Blake Swihart seems like the guy that is going to be gone. There's just not a place for him on this roster. There never has been a place for him on this roster. His agent has requested a trade. He doesn't get any playing time. It seems like the logical move. You held on to him too long, and now you're probably going to get nothing. You know, you're going to get nothing for him by just having to release him. But Pedroia will be back, and they need him more than I thought they did because of the, you know, the averages at the bottom of that order. They're not very good. Let's get to the lineups. Red Sox, Rays. Red Sox and Rays, Game 3 from Tropicana Field. Rick Porcello, he is on the mound. He has gone at least six innings in all but one start this season. All but one start. Also news for the Red Sox. Remember, Hector Velasquez activated from the disabled list today. Porcello, 6-1 with a 3.39. He goes up against Blake Snell, 5-3 with a 3.07. For the Sox, they are still in a battle neck-and-neck with the New York Yankees. They're 34-15. The Rays are 22-25. Mookie Betts is in right. Hanley Ramirez hits second. He's the DH today. J.D. Martinez is in left. Mitch Moreland's at first. Xander Bogaerts at short. Eduardo Nunez at second. Rafael Devers at third. Sandy Leon, the catcher, and Jackie Bradley Jr., 4 for his last 11, is in center. For Snell, he's 5-3 with a 3.07. Certainly has good strikeout potential. He's also got an ERA of just 1.07 at home this year. Denard Span's in left. CJ Krohn, the DH, he had the lone RBI yesterday. Matt Duffy's at third. Wilson Ramos, the catcher, he is back in the lineup after he was hurt in game one of this series. He hits fourth. Brad Miller's at first. Daniel Robertson at second. The speedy outfielder, Malik Smith, 10 stolen bases. He hits seventh as in center. Johnny Fields in right, and Willy Adames, the rookie, probably his last game up, even just getting a cup of coffee in the majors here. He hits ninth and plays shortstop. That will do it for us. Again, Red Sox baseball coming up following us right here on Champlain Valley Game Night. NBA action tomorrow for the Celtics, Game 6. We have it for you on AM 960 The Zone. Rockets Warriors, they're doing battle on the hardwood today from Houston. For intern Kevin, for intern Alec, for Rich, for Arnie, I am Brady. Champlain Valley Game Night over. Red Sox baseball coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And remember, always now on that 101.3 ESPN app. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. 101.3 ESPN.